Welcome to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti, and it is great to have Pastor Kyle Horner back with us this week. We have a special, special episode for you, and we are dedicating it to Landon Solberg, a 12-year-old boy who passed away recently after a two-year battle with brain cancer. I learned about Landon through Carson Wentz and the AO1 Foundation. Landon, he attended AO1's inaugural Camp Conquerors in North Dakota in 2018, and then this past summer, he threw out the first pitch at Carson's second annual charity softball game in Philly at Citizens Bank Park. And one day after Landon passed away last week, Carson wore Landon's light T-shirt to the podium for his weekly news conference with Philly reporters, and he had, before the game against the Eagles against the Lions, he wore these special cleats that had Landon's light on there. And so I wanted to ask him about Landon, and we're going to play that for you because he talked a little bit about him, got a little emotional about him. Yeah. Unfortunately, the game didn't go the Eagles' way against the Lions.
It didn't.
But Landon didn't have much time here on Earth, but he certainly made a big impact in that short time that he had here. I saw that the mayors of Fargo and West Fargo, first of all, I didn't know there's a West Fargo.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't either, right. I didn't know it was big enough to have like two mayors. Yeah.
So they got two, and they declared Monday, September 23rd was Landon Solberg Day, which was really cool. And that was just a special thing for his family. I know you.
I got a chance to meet his family. I got a chance to meet his family at the softball game. And, you know, obviously, being involved with AO1 like we are, and what a great program Camp Conquerors is that AO1 is doing, you know, taking kids like Landon who are struggling, in life and have some difficulties, but to watch the joy on these kids' face, amazing to see them actually living life above their circumstance, not letting their limitations, be a limitation to themselves. It's so inspiring. Should be inspiring to so many of us. And I think that's what Carson saw as well. You know, these young men like Landon who are saying, you know, I've got lots of adversity in my life, but I'm not going to let the adversity define me. I'm going to define the adversity by living life bigger. And his parents just had the same kind of zeal and passion and, you know, not only just for love for their child who was going through, but really seeing compassion and love for other children who are going through it. And, it's a challenge, I think, for all of us, isn't it? To be able to see life differently.
It's difficult. I can't imagine what they were going through as a parent, as parents of twin girls who are 6 years old. Man, when I drop them off at school, I turn around. They're walking away. Sometimes I'm tearing up because
I want to run after them. I'd be like, you know, one more hug.
And they always want that hug. Let me read a statement from the mayors dedicating September 23rd to Landon Solberg. And the statement said, Landon Solberg's faith, spirit, and positivity displayed throughout his life have truly changed the Fargo, West Fargo community for the better. His impact through the lessons he taught us and the establishment of Landon's light is incredible. It is only fitting we honor Landon's legacy through our unified proclamation. So I asked Carson Wentz about Landon at the end of his news conference last week. Here's what he said.
I know you're wearing Landon's T-shirt. I know he lost his fight on Tuesday. Yeah. How does real life stuff like that put everything you're going through in perspective? And is there anything you want to say to his family?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I think for those I don't know. Landon was, he actually threw out the first pitch at the charity softball game. He lost his life to cancer yesterday. I'm trying not to get emotional, but a good kid like that was able to go through our AO1 Foundation's programs, and we got to know him really well and his family, and to see his fight and his faith through his fight, his faith in Jesus, really inspired me. And just seeing how he fought over and over throughout that battle. It's tough for me to see that, and my prayers have been with his family, and I know Landon's up there celebrating with Jesus, so that's something we can always celebrate, but it is tough to see things like that for sure.
So that was Carson Wentz just talking about Landon in a really short soundbite, but there was so much power in that, so much emotion in what he said there, and what stood out to me the most is, and what's so amazing is that through everything Landon went through, he maintained his faith so strongly to the point that Carson, who we know is a man of strong faith, was inspired by that. So it's incredible that there's a boy at that age that young, who's able to stay so faithful in the face of adversity, and really what is an awful disease that cut his life short, it really puts a lot of things in perspective for me, and it challenges me in my faith when I see the impact of what he did. When I'm feeling down about like the dumbest, silliest, stupidest things, or when I'm upset over something that is just so
like
minor,
a garden hose.
It challenges. You know, I think about this, and I think about Carson talking about it, and then I think about this boy and his family and what they're going through. Man, it challenges me to be thankful for everything, all the blessings, to be grateful for everything. Most of all, stay faithful.
Yeah.
Stay faithful. And trouble, like, we're all going to have trouble, and it looks different for you.
Absolutely,
it looks different
right.
for me. It mm-hmm. looks different for you. Everyone's trouble's different. We don't have the same struggles, but I think we all, when we're believers, we have the same God who sent his only son to be our Lord and Savior. So in Christ, we have this salvation. We find this hope. We can find this peace. And Landon Solberg, at his young age, did it despite the toughest, most difficult challenge that really any of us can face. Like, we talk about adversity. We talk about coming back from injuries. We talk about this. No, this is a life-threatening illness.
Absolutely.
That he lost his physical battle too soon. But as Carson said, he's up there celebrating with Jesus. And he may have lost his physical battle here on earth. I like to think of it like he's winning soul. He lost that, but he's winning souls.
Absolutely.
And he's winning
100%.
Souls for the kingdom
right.
through that strong faith, through the spread of Landon's light, and through everything that is coming to be known about him in his short life.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it said a thousand times before, buddy. The truth is, you know, on our tombstones, there's two dates, the day we come into the world and the day we leave it.
That's right.
But the thing that defines our life is the dash in between. And I think that's the thing. You know, we celebrate our birthdays. You know, people celebrate then our going home day, you know, in our life. But the truth is, what we do with the dash in between that, how we handle that, what voice we leave determines whether I think we leave a memory or a legacy.
Right.
And you know, someone's going to remember you when you're gone. But that really isn't the question. The question is, are we leaving a legacy behind? Have we, it's not how we lived our life. It's how, what did we set in motion with our life when we live it? And, you know, so he went home too soon from our earthly perspective.
That's right.
But he's setting things, Landon set things in motion by his life, by how he handled the adversity, by how he handled life situations and how he went about it. That speaks and will continue to speak. So we're not talking about a memory of a kid. Oh, it's, you know, let's just remember him. No, how he lived his life have impacted so many people that it is rolling on. It's a momentum of a movement. His life had meaning. And there, man, there's a lot of people that can live 80 or 90 years. And at the end of that life, that dash really didn't have a whole lot of meaning. But that young boy lived a very short period of time, but how he lived it set into motion a legacy.
It is kind of sad to think about it. It really is, because it takes an illness for some of us to move.
True,
or
absolutely.
Some of us to recognize what God is doing or want to do or what is it that we're here for. But sometimes we think about cancer or things like that, and we're like, why? This is so harsh, and this is just a child. But think about the impact that's happening, because the way I see it is that Jesus is, everything to him is the same. Whether it's illness, whether it's an accident, it's all the same. It's all just leveled. Everything is the same. He's trying to just do one thing.
Yeah.
He's trying to establish a kingdom here.
Yeah, right? Correct. Yeah.
So even if, and it's so sad to say that he went home. Like, well, it's nice that he's home with Jesus. But yeah, it's sad that his life was cut short.
Sure. In an earthly perspective, in this temporal time zone, in his certain friends, family, absolutely.
But this little boy is now celebrating with Jesus. I mean, this is the ultimate thing.
A loss. It's for those of us who remain, who knew him, that's a loss.
Right.
Exactly.
And for Jesus, this is like, this is it. This is what I want. I want my kids to be with me at all times. This is what I want. This is what I strive for. And
it's interesting, Remy, that I think a lot of times the truth is, enemies reveal the anointing that God has on our life. Mm-hmm. So when you look at David, right? David is this young boy, young teenage boy, overlooked by his father, kind of discarded by family. It is actually where we get the term redheaded stepchild from, that kind of moment. And yet he was anointed as king, but still no one knew it. Right. No one knew that he was anointed king until he faced a Goliath, until there was a enemy in his life that, that how he faced that revealed the anointing. I think at times we see life's challenges as if God's angry with us rather than understanding that God has anointed us. You know, that, that this is a moment to reveal that anointing, and how that is revealed is different. The way Landon is revealing the anointing that was on his life is different than the way David did, but it doesn't matter. It's all about the revelation of who God is through this battle.
Absolutely.
That helps reveal God in different ways across, you know, Lazarus' testimony was different than the woman the woman with the issue of blood's testimony, right? Both had an issue that Jesus conquered, and their testimony impacted people, but their testimonies were vastly different. One had to die before he got his breakthrough. The other went through 12 years of isolation before she got her breakthrough. Different, but it's a different revelation of the same God, so that we see him in a bigger picture.
I like what you were saying about the dash and in the in-between.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes we often say, oh, life wasted, or how quickly
potential unfulfilled.
Yeah, potential unfulfilled, or what could have been, what you could have accomplished and didn't have the chance to. And I like to challenge people through stories like this to seize the moment, because we're never guaranteed tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And if we're always looking ahead and saying, I'll get to it, or I will be able to do it. I end every show I do, whether it's a sports talk show or this show, and you guys know that, I say, make a difference, be a blessing. And I don't just say that as like a cute little slogan, tagline. Yeah. Like, no, make a difference and be a blessing. Like, how are you making a difference? How am I making a difference? How am I being a blessing? How am I blessing others? How are we blessing others? Yeah. And no matter how short our time is on earth, man, it goes back to that legacy that you can leave. Are you leaving a legacy based on what you accomplished, or are you leaving a legacy based on who you impacted? And I think in Landon's case, for as young as he is, to maintain that strong faith, and anybody who can look at him and be like, in that face of adversity, when I'm reacting like a crazy lunatic to something that's so stupid.
A first world problem, right? Like my cell phone is cracked, or like the garden hose isn't long enough.
Whatever it is, the garden hose the other day is, you know, the issue with the pool, the leaves in the pool, it's consistent. Like, we're going to take care of that.
By the grace of God, it's going to be done soon.
But you think about that, and then you go, man, my adversity, this adversity is not a big deal. But there are other adversities.
Absolutely.
I've had other challenges.
We
have faced big-time adversity, and everybody's is different. You're going through something. She's going through something. I'm going through something. And here's the thing. People from the outside don't often know what we're going through.
Correct.
But they know how we are responding and how we are reacting. So when you are a strong man or woman of Christ, and people can see that through your response to whatever it is that you're going through, it's powerful.
Absolutely.
I think there's so much power in that.
Absolutely.
So I think I do a better job outside the home.
Yes.
Of handling myself in adversity.
Yeah.
I do a terrific job publicly. My goal is to do a better job in my household, in front of my wife, in front of my children.
Absolutely right.
When I'm trying to, because if they see me handling even the dumbest thing in a wild, crazy manner, what are they going to think?
Absolutely.
What are you going to think? And sometimes it takes you bringing me back to the moment and saying,
I'll
hey,
bring
you
back
know,
every day, son. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I really do.
you do. But
thank God for godly women. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. There's just, I think we need to really take grasp of the power that we have in the situation that we're going through, no matter who sees us, how it can impact them, how it can be a difference on their life. How can you bless someone else through your struggle?
Yeah. Look, I mean, the greatest message that we'll ever preach is the life that we live. Mm-hmm. And so the truth is, Rob, we are preaching a message. It's what message are we preaching? We are promoting someone. Are we promoting ourselves? Are we promoting that illness? Are we promoting that lie? Or are we promoting the king? And those things are, we don't have a choice on whether or not we are preaching a message. Mm-hmm. We don't, yeah. Right? Our lives are messages being written in the world. It's a story being told. So the reality of what you just said is absolutely true. We have to decide intentionally.
Yes.
To live life intentionally. That doesn't mean that we won't mess it up. We mess it up all the time because we're broken and insecurity gets in the way and ego gets in the way and right. pride gets in the way and fear gets in the way. All that stuff happens. But the reality is that we have to step back and remember that we are ambassadors.
Absolutely.
We are ambassadors. We carry a message that's right. not our own, of a king and a kingdom, as Remy said, right. that far outweighs what we're going through. There's a bigger story that we're being a part of. So when we only see it through the lens of how it affects me, how it's, you know, working on me, yeah. how it's bothering me, we're seeing things too small. And I think that's what ends up happening so often.
Honestly, I also want to say that it doesn't have to take adversity to do that. Because moms, especially, they have to minister to their kids every single day. Mm. And I believe that when Truth. You see a child in public or see a child at home and you see how they behave, or and I'm not judging children, but I'm just saying you see how the mom is ministering.
Oh, 100%.
And you see how the dad is ministering.
Or not.
See,
or not.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Because we have to be honest with ourselves. We cannot just go to church every Sunday and come home and nothing is changing, and you're not ministering
you can't
at
expect
all
the church. You can't yeah. expect
you cannot,
the church.
That's not the job yeah, of the it, church. That well, is the job of the parents.
The job of the church is to help disciple.
You, you.
Exactly.
Thank
help
you.
You disciple your children, not right. to disciple your children for you.
For you. Exactly.
But Rob, you said earlier, and Remy, we've talked about this on the show before, but yeah. You know, just to bring it back to what you're saying is so valuable. The greatest impact as a parent that you will ever have on your children's faith mm-hmm. is not how you worship on a Sunday morning.
No,
right. It's how you live out the message yes. of Sunday morning through the week.
Like,
and
it's
not an either or. Can we agree? Like, it's not an either or works. We've talked right. about the fact you can't not bring your kids to church and expect them to be influenced by the kingdom either.
Yeah.
But if all we're doing is expecting them to see us in a very safe environment,
mm-hmm.
worship God in a very safe way, and thinking that that's going to translate to them.
Yeah.
When they see the way that we live 6 other days of the week,
yeah.
how we treat mommy,
yeah.
how we treat each other. So like when Dee and I have talked about it all the time when it comes to our son, Jake, I love my daughter-in-law enough, even though she's not in the picture yet, right? I love my daughter-in-law enough to raise a man of faith, to raise a, exactly right. I love her enough to know, like, I'm not raising a boy. I'm raising a man.
And you want him to see how you treat Dee.
Absolutely. So we talk about it all the time. So I brought Daniel flowers the other day. And you know, one of my love languages is giving gifts. So I love to do that. And
y'all love that?
I love it.
Right? And Danielle stopped and said, take note of this. And it's always, I don't do it to like get Jake's attention, but I do want to make sure that what he sees, how I take care of my son,
how I take care
of my wife, how I talk to her, and he sees that we have discussions that are, we have a lot of discussions sometimes, but if he knows that we have those discussions, he also needs to see that we have forgiveness.
Yes.
Right. And it's not, there are times I think that we shouldn't let our kids into everything that we do and have. But if we don't let them see both sides of that story, they will not know how to have a safe discussion with their spouse, and they will not actually know how to actually apologize and know what a real apology looks like.
Listen, that's firsthand. That's my story. Okay. That's for another day, but I grew up not understanding what that that entails. What happens when there's an argument?
Yes.
I did not understand that. I did not see that picture in front of me. It was painted very differently, but again, for a different day. So with you, honey, like, I love how you love me. You know, I know this is gonna get
I love how you love me.
I really do. I love how you love me, and I love that I have to fight my kids for my husband because they really think that they're gonna marry their dad when they grow up.
That's a good thing to have at that age.
Wait, girl, let me
Daddy's interject.
Taken,
I pick him up from school yesterday.
Yeah,
and Alexia says, when I get married, because see, they know Daddy is quote unquote allergic to dogs.
Yeah.
That's why they can't have a little puppy, because Daddy's allergic to dogs.
So
and therefore they love dogs so much that now they've opened their eyes to, when I grow up and get married, I'm going to have a dog. Yeah. So before, when it was, I'm not leaving you, daddy, I want to be with you, daddy. Right. Now it's kind of like, so she said yesterday, when I get married, mm-hmm. I am going to have a puppy. Yeah. And I was like, oh my goodness, Lex, you're going to actually, you really want to get married? You don't want to, you don't. And then she's saying, no, I'm going to stay. Yeah. I'm going to stay home with you. I was like, no, it's okay.
More than, yeah.
I was like, you can, but, yeah. but what I said to her was, when you get married, yeah. Yeah. I want you to find a man who loves you the way I love mommy,
yeah.
and who loves Jesus more yeah. than you.
Yep, yep.
Yes.
And she said, more than me? I said, he has to love Jesus yep. more than you. Then he will know how to love you the way you deserve to be loved.
Absolutely.
Do you know that this is the ultimate truth that women, well, young women and children needs to hear and understand? This is kind of like, I feel like it's my life mission. Because if I had known or understood that when I was yes. younger, it would have saved me so much time and 100%. So much headache and so much agony and pain. But not a lot of people understands that, and not a lot of people talk about that.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But,
agreed, Rami. Yeah.
When you don't understand what love really looks like, and when love and pain are painted the same for you, oh. it's such a hard, hard thing to understand on your own. You need the power of Jesus Christ to really heal that.
Absolutely.
And it takes a long time, and it takes a man like you that loves Jesus to come in and show you what love really looks like. And,
absolutely.
And that does not include anything else. It does not, there is no payment for it. There is no, and I'm not talking about payment. I'm just talking yeah. about, there is no price attached to that love.
Yes.
Just love.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful thing to understand. And women out there and young children especially need to understand and love the way God loves and feel his love and know what that is
yes.
before they can even find a man.
If a man's, Remy, what you said is absolutely true and does need to be really elevated in our society.
Highlighted, right?
Because I think so often, in particular, the princess being rescued by the prince on the white horse. And look, it's a great fairy tale. But it's a fairy tale. And the truth is, when you're looking for a spouse that loves you more than they love Jesus, just know that you'll always stay in the broken state that you are, because the only way for me to actually challenge you as a spouse in the area that where pain has touched you the greatest, all right? Now, I'm not talking about challenge you in the area that pain has touched you the greatest, is actually to have an allegiance to Jesus that is greater than my allegiance to you and be willing to go there with you.
Yeah.
But if I'm always at the place where I want to make sure that you know that I love you, that you feel loved by me, that and love is painted, as you said, Remy, very differently, non-confrontationally, always accepting everything, then we'll stay broken, and that brokenness will break our marriage.
Absolutely.
You know, I talk to people all the time. The truth, and you guys know, I mean, look, we have hundreds of people that we deal with all the time, and, you know, we don't have marriage problems. That marriage is amoral. It's like, we don't have money problems. No, did not do anything wrong to you. You did something wrong with your money, right?
True.
So we don't have marriage problems. We have individual problems that affect our marriage. So if we don't actually deal with the things that are inside of us, and that's when you go, see, because you're acting like this, you don't love me.
Yeah.
No. I'm acting like this because I'm broken.
Yes.
I'm broken. So if I can love Jesus more than I love you, I'm willing to let you speak into that broken area of my life and not feel like you're not accepting me.
Do you know how much undoing that has to happen from that? There's so much. I mean, we've been married for what, 7 years? There's still a lot of undoing. I mean, I came a long way, but sometimes my reaction to things are saying there's so much pain still.
Oh,
and I have to catch myself and say, my reaction came from pain and not from love, and I have to change that.
I recognize powerful. That, though.
And I
got the chisel out, and I'm always trying to chip away a little bit.
It's true. If I start crying, okay.
No, it's powerful, Remy.
My mascara is not waterproof today, so I need to keep it together.
You're off camera.
But seriously, you have to chisel away at the pain and meet it with love all the time, and you have to go to Jesus with your pain and just say, I need you. I need you because my reactions are still painful. My reactions are still not what I want to be. I want to be someone else. I want to be not in this place of pain anymore. I want to be in a place of love because I am here. I am safe. This is safety. This is okay. Yes. And I don't need to act from this painful, from what I know. See, the thing is what you know or what you've...
It's not always
true. You know is not really the truth. And what you've seen with your eyes is not really what you're supposed to see. You were supposed to see love. You were supposed to see understanding. But you saw the people that were supposed to give you love, they gave you love and pain.
Yes.
So you're confused. You're very confused. And it's hard. It's hard when you get there, when you're getting, when you're married and you have your kids and you want to tell them what love is and you want to show them what love is, but you have your whole life you experienced love with pain. It's very difficult. It's very difficult, and it takes a lot of undoing, and it takes a lot of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, I find myself stuck a lot.
Remy, you're describing, I think, the majority of the human race, mm-hmm. is that they have only experienced love through pain. Mm-hmm. And when we have addictive backgrounds or we have dysfunctional families, we have abusive situations, whether that's in the home or out of the home, we don't want love like that, but that's the way that we filter love.
Right.
It's so exactly. Correct. Exactly. It's so it's like when you grew up in a chaotic household, mm-hmm. And you're thinking in your mind as a kid, when I get older, I'll never do this when I get older.
Complete opposite. But, you go to the whole,
correct.
Like,
but it's the only thing that you equate.
Right.
We're a product of our environment.
Yes. Right. Yeah, so, absolutely. And that's why, you know, I was reading an article the other day, you know, even about, you know, churches, you know, making sure, you know, we're a multi-ethnic church, we're a multicultural church,
which
and
we love.
Which here, no, I mean, here's for me, that's
that, Cherry Hill, Philadelphia, it's and Randolph, New
right?
Jersey.
Exactly, it's essential. That for me, that was that is something I'll never move from. But someone was talking about, well, you need to celebrate all of those cultures, and I said, no, I need to celebrate kingdom culture, because the truth I can recognize the value that every culture brings into the house, but the life I'm trying to create for people, the only healthy culture is kingdom culture.
Yeah.
And it's not
bringing the word culture into this.
Absolutely.
Because do you know how I was just thinking about this last night, and it's funny because I didn't even think I was going to talk about this today, but here we go. And God has been trying to tell me, open up and talk about it, open up and talk about it, because this is the only way to heal. But culture is a big, big thing, because I grew up in a culture where when you talk about you being abused, you are the victim, not just the victim, you are also guilty. How am I guilty?
I know. I didn't do anything wrong.
Guilty.
Yes, correct.
I didn't do anything
wrong.
All I did was kept my mouth shut.
Correct.
Where I should have just woke up and said something and stood up. But no, I did not. I just stood there and watched it.
What is done in the house stays in the house. Yeah. What is done in family stays. We don't talk about family outside.
It's a different culture.
Absolutely right.
And if you open up and talk about it.
Yes, then you're the bad person.
You're the bad person. Uh-huh. And how dare you?
Remember, it's exactly what the enemy wants, right? I mean, it's a total lie. So it's, you know, let me keep everything in the darkness. Yeah. And if I can keep things in the darkness, everything will be okay.
The kingdom of darkness.
The kingdom of darkness has never produced anything that is helpful, right? So, you know, the old saying, you know, negatives are developed in the dark room, right? But when you open the door and bring light in, those negatives are destroyed. And that's the truth, and that's what the enemy doesn't want us to do. So don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And even when we do talk about it, at least what I found as adults, we try to even still, because it's so ingrained in us, to protect the people who abused us.
That's right.
Well, it wasn't really their fault, and you know, I had to just know, and you know, it wasn't. They didn't really mean to do that, and I'm like, even that continues to build guilt and shame inside of us. So those things, instead of being able to say, someone can do something bad and not be a bad person, all right?
Yeah.
If you were abused by a parent, it doesn't make them a horrible person. It makes them a broken person. They can do bad things, and I'm not ever. We're all saying there's no justification for abuse at any level.
Yeah.
But when we feel like saying something bad about someone will equate to someone thinking that they're bad, and we love that person,
we'll
protect them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
See,
so there's never truth, and truth is what destroys those lies.
But as a child, though, as a child, not knowing what's happening, and you're just watching things unfold in front of you, and you don't know what side to pick because, well, you're just there.
You can't pick a side.
No, you can't pick a side.
You're a kid.
And you just grow up not understanding what love is and what you're supposed to do with it. And at the same time, you're supposed to forgive someone that you saw treating someone you love very much really poorly. But you're supposed to love that person. Do you know how hard that is? Do you know how much forgiveness that takes? That doesn't happen overnight. It does not. That takes a lifetime.
Well, that's why we always say forgiveness isn't about the person.
It's not because that's forgiving, exactly what it's about.
It's about, it's about you. And it's about interesting how we're talking about the darkness and how the enemy wants to keep us in the darkness. And today we're talking about Landon's light.
I know.
Shining the light of Christ to overcome
that darkness. Here we are. Yeah.
This is a powerful conversation. I want to continue it when we come back on Faith on a Field Show presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
And welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University, Rob Remy and Pastor Kyle. We were in a powerful spot in our conversation, and we're talking about our past situations sometimes, how they can really influence your future. I had a different kind of home life than you did. My dad was the perfect example for me to how to honor your family and honor your mother. Never in my life did my dad raise his voice to my mom. To this day,
he's an angel.
And you think about that. Then there's some funny stories he tells me.
Now I feel bad about my life. Thanks. You know?
So, but I will say there is, and like I love my parents to death. Mm-hmm. They're awesome. They're amazing. But I had to overcome a background of sometimes negative thought first. And here, let me tell everybody how. So growing up as a kid playing ball, playing baseball, they wouldn't let me play at six. I couldn't play T-ball. I couldn't until I was 8 years old. I started playing baseball. So 8 years old, you're supposed to play 8 to 10 years.
Right.
I was good enough at eight where I was playing with the 12-year-olds.
Wow.
Which was awesome because I was on a team with my brother who was 12. There's the only time in our lives we were on the same team together. He played first base. I played shortstop. Mm-hmm. I was eight. He was 12. Had the best year of my life playing
baseball.
That's
really cool.
But my mom, bless her heart, an amazing woman. She'll cook for you all day long. She's scared of her shadow.
Yeah, she really is.
She is scared of her. Like, she is just, like, to the point, last night I get a text at 11:30. 11:30 last night, I'm watching Monday Night Football, and I get a text from her, the police and fire are at our house because the alarm went off. I'm like, Mom, is there a fire in the house? No. But they still called the fire and the police because the smoke alarm. Not the house alarm, the smoke alarm. So I'm like, the smoke alarm goes off. It's probably a battery situation.
Yeah, yeah,
No. The whole township, police and fire
showed up at
the house. She's like, it's 11:30. They're looking through everything. I said, all right, Mom, let me know what happens. I don't think I need to come over there at 11:30 at night. You know, it's the fourth quarter here. Redskins are coming back in the game. I think you guys are okay. You would have smelled the fire. You would have saw the burning building. She said, they just told us to get new fire detectors.
Well, we know that.
But every time I left my house to go play a game, I never heard hit a home run, have a great game. It was always, don't get hurt.
Wow.
Don't get hurt.
Wow.
Don't get hurt.
Yeah.
So. Well. I love them to death, and I understand that, but I never knew what I was going to have, boys, girls, or however it is. And now my daughters are playing soccer.
And they're so cute.
And they love it. Like, Alexi is an incredible goalie, making three saves. I was like, whatever.
Come on.
I don't say don't get hurt. I say, I tell them, just go have fun.
Oh, you guys should see me on the field. Let me tell you.
This girl, who doesn't like sports.
She's a soccer mom?
She's the mess. The loudest person
I'm the loudest person. I'm obnoxious. I'm pretty sure people are like, what is wrong with this lady?
Melina knocks over a boy going after a ball, and she's like, yeah. And I'm like, babe, but the other parents are...
Throw an elbow. It's all good.
They're on the other side. They're three parents away over there. Don't be cheering that on. But... It's that negativity. It's that negativity that I was like, so now, like, I noticed all throughout my life, my first thought in any situation would tend to be towards the negative. Mm. And how can I move away from going, don't get hurt? Whatever it is in life.
Yes.
Not necessarily, but whatever it is in life. Okay. I don't get a email response the way I like it to go. And my first reaction is like, oh, screw them.
Yes.
Right?
Of course.
That.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Or something doesn't work out the way. My first reaction. So I try and I like you said, you got to chip away at this. It's avoiding the negative response or the negative reaction and try and build off what I wanted to hear when I was the kid.
I'm just glad we're all messed up. This is just good. This makes me feel good. This makes me feel good right now.
I didn't want you to be on an island by yourself today. So
Words have so much power, don't they? I mean, and it creates culture. And remember, that's what we keep talking about. You know, the words that we speak repetitively create mindsets, and mindsets create filters through which we see our life. And Rob, that's what you're talking about. So, I mean, that's why the renewing of our mind, when Paul talks about, man, when we come to Christ, we have to renew our mind.
Yes. 12, it's 12, right?
It's, it's not this concept of just like, oh, I have to think differently. Yeah. It's no, because I have grown to see life in a certain filter that's so broken and so skewed, you know. So and I had to wrestle with it on the opposite side, Rob, which is so funny, because Dee and I are Danielle's a lot like comes from a lot like your mom's background, and I come from a very different, like, my dad was a coach, so I'm like, we can take the hill, like, I just what do we got to do? Let's take the hill. And so, like, when we get married and we talk about risk, when she sees something as risky, she shuts down because it's not worth risking what I have. I don't want to lose anything. And so the first thought is risk is dangerous. Right. For me, risk is life. Like, that's exciting. How
the
do you move forward?
Mentality.
Right. I mean, right. So the truth is that either one of those two, left by their own devices, can be destructive, because there are some risks I shouldn't take. There are some things that I need a little bit of counsel on to say, hey, not the vision may not be bad, but it might not be the season for that right? Yeah. So those things, but when I look at it, when I look at the way that I was raised, I go, no, this is great. Of course. In order to do anything, you need to take a risk. And in order, I have my whole thing. So it's not bad, but it's still broken.
Can't fail if you don't try.
Right, right. All the coach speak that I grew up on, which is, by the way, reinforced from all the friends that we have, right? So it's like so we're in that world and they just say all the same things. And I'm like, see, I was right. But the truth is, I need her. I need her in this to be able to say, hey, wait a minute. Your idea is inspiring. The vision's inspiring, but let's ask some questions first before we run. And she needs me to say, awesome, but you can't shut the door and pull the blanket over your head and expect it to go away. There's this
trust in the Lord in this.
Yes,
moment.
But that's where we need each other. That's where this brokenness comes from both sides.
So good.
Yeah. That's growing up with your identities all messed up.
Yes.
I'm not
like, of course.
But then you form it from your parents' opinions, from your friends' opinions,
of course.
And then whatever experiences that you're going through. But then at the end of the day, you're like, but who am I really? Mm. Who am I?
Yes.
You really have to question that every day. You have to, who am I? And who do I belong to?
Well, and how do I even answer that question, Remy? Because the heart is deceitful of all things. So who I think I am.
Right.
And what I think. So I didn't know. And I'm sure you may have been the same way. I didn't know that some of the ways that I grew up were really unhealthy, because for me, they were like, this is life, right? This is good. This is great. And my family wasn't bad. My family was good. So I was like, yeah, this is good. But when I started to see life differently through the kingdom of God, I started to say, oh, there are some things that actually that looked good on the outside, but were unhealthy.
That's not,
we're constantly evolving. We're constantly growing. I don't think we can never have it all figured out. I don't think we can ever have it all figured out at a young age, especially. And then as we grow older, we're learning more, we're maturing more. My walk looks different now than it did 2 years ago, than it did 4 years ago, than it did 10 years ago. And I don't want to be the same person in 60 days as I am today. I don't think we should ever reach a point of done.
Content,
satisfaction. I don't need to grow. Yeah. I don't need to mature, because if I don't evolve, if I don't change, if I don't, there's always going to be insecurities. There's always going to be some negativity. There's always going to be whatever it is that I have to overcome, whatever it is that I have to be better at. We started the show off talking about how to deal with that adversity, how to overcome that adversity. And in Landon Solberg's case, just incredible adversity that this young boy had to face at such a young age, a dreadful disease for him that he had to go through. I want to talk about a Bible verse. Paul is I think there's not a show that goes by we don't
mention
something that Paul that Paul wrote. He wrote most of the New Testament anyway, so there's always going to be something in there. But 2 Corinthians 4:8-10, he said, "In every way we're troubled, but we aren't crushed by our troubles. We're frustrated, but we don't give up. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're captured, but we're not destroyed. We always carry around the death of Jesus in our bodies so that the life of Jesus is also shown in our bodies." There is so much power in unpacking what he's saying
there.
And it, to me, it just goes back to, all of us have something that we're going through, but how we're responding to it. Jesus died for us. The hope is there. The salvation is there. The peace is there. The answer is there.
Yes.
And how do we reflect that through the troubles that we're going through?
I love the fact that Paul, and it's the one of the greatest perspectives that we can come to, is that this is not my home. Like this is not the finality of it all. And that's why he can say those things. Yeah. It's that he recognized that this moment, although it's real, is not the, does not have the final word over my life. I'm an alien. He talks about, I'm an alien here. I have to live in this world, but I'm not of this world, right? So the perspective of all of that changes when we say, man, this isn't all there is. Because Jesus died and rose again, we have that hope. And it's not just a hope. It's, if he could overcome death and he lives inside of us, then death is a brand new start into something different. So I think the change of perspective is so essential. You know, the one thing that I thought was interesting about Landon, is that, you know, his adversity caused him to go deeper into his faith. And I just really want to, and I'm so proud of him for doing that, because there's a lot of times when we face adversity, we can get all up in our feels, right? And we shut down, and we lose faith. And I'm sure maybe that was there with him as well, obviously, but you know, it really helped him grow in faith. And I'm so proud of his parents for taking him there as well. I want to really encourage parents to not wait for there to be adversity or trouble in a marriage or in a home or in a kid's life before we make faith something that's important, because if you train up a child in the way that they should go, when they get older, they won't depart from it. That's a promise from God. But what we've been talking about today is the reality. The way you train up a child, whether good or bad, whether healthy or broken, whether kingdom minded or selfish or self-centered minded, when they get older, they will not depart from that. Absolutely. And so it's so important we don't wait for something. You know, we hear it a lot when people start going through divorce or they're having marriage problems. I better make sure I take my kids to church now because, you know, dad and I or mom and I are having problems and I want to make sure they're okay. Wow. No. You sow that early so that when the storm comes, right? That whole concept of Jesus saying, a wise man builds his house upon the rock. Why is he wise? Because he knows the storm is coming. You build so that you know the storms are coming. You don't build when the storm is there.
Right. Because I did not grow up with that. Like, I grew up in a church and everything, and my mom was always praying for us. And I think that's exactly why that stayed with me.
Yes.
But I wasn't ready to face what I faced. I wasn't ready to see what I saw. I wasn't ready for all that, but God stayed with me. That seed stayed inside
Absolutely.
Of me.
Absolutely.
And that's why it carried me through. But that's why I do what I do with my kids now. Mm-hmm. Like I don't take it lightly
yes.
to read the Bible with them. I don't take it lightly to pray over them. And it's my prayers running. Are long for them. And then sometimes they lay in bed like, Mommy, that was long. I'm like, girl, you better sit there and listen.
Yeah, but you know what? The length of your prayers for them is when we're sitting before dinner and we're about to say grace and we have one of the girls say it. Now they're, instead of Lexi, like, I'm hungry, man. I'm starving. Yeah. I just want to eat. I just want to say, Jesus, thank you for this food.
No,
thank
Lexi
you for mommy.
For like,
she goes on for 22 minutes.
20 minutes. We're hungry. Okay.
I know where she picked it up from.
Me. I'm sitting there praying for them and I don't take it lightly because it's so important. And you know, the best reward there is when I see them playing with other kids and the moms are standing next to me and saying, how do they not get this way? Or how do they not get that way? Or do they ever fight? I'm like, they fight, but.
It's over in 2 seconds.
It's over in 2 seconds. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But how do they not have an attitude? I'm like, how? I'll tell you what. Do you want to know how?
back to what you were just saying, Kyle, about faith. And we don't. You both said it too earlier. Don't wait till adversity strikes.
Right,
our faith shouldn't be our last resort.
Correct.
If we've run out of options, and it's sometimes that's how it is for people. They've exhausted
everything else.
They've tried every way. They may have an addiction, and they have gone through counseling, and they've gone through whatever it is, and they're trying, and they can't conquer it, and they can't conquer it because they're talking. I heard this sermon about it's not about the willpower. It's about the worship.
Yeah, that's
good. And it's about the if there's a worship problem,
yes.
not a willpower problem
yeah,
with
correct.
Your addiction.
Absolutely. Correct.
And we should not wait for a last resort. Like Jesus Christ should not be our last resort. He's there. He's waiting. He's going to pull you in. But man, how much more peaceful could your life have been had you recognized that journey would have not been quite the same. And let's not ever, and we never do, and we always let people know this, let's not ever equate coming to Christ with a magic pill that solves all your problems.
It's totally not.
There doesn't mean your life's going to be free from any storms. It doesn't mean your life you're going to have adversity. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have to go through some stuff, but he's there with you. And when he's there with you, when you think you're alone, when you think you're the only person in that room, when you think you're the only one sitting, getting the chemo treatment, and there's no one left to love you, or you think you're the only person right now who's jobless, who's unemployed, who can't pay their bills, when you think you're the only one dealing with any kind of abuse, you think you're the only one dealing with any kind of struggle, whatever it may be, he's there for you.
Absolutely.
He's
change
there with
focus.
You.
Yeah, change your focus. Whatever it is, just change your focus, because that's what I had to do all the time. If it's either I focus on my past or my future, one or the other, I have to pick. Every single day,
right.
You got to pick.
Absolutely.
Are you focused on God or are you focused on the darkness that you saw? Which one is it that you're going to focus on? And if you focus on Jesus, everything will change.
Absolutely.
Beautiful stuff. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
I raise a hallelujah. Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our previous episodes, go to faithonafieldshow.com. You can find every past show and listen anytime at your convenience. We are also now on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode and the blog delivered right there to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us at Rob Motti at Remy Mahdi and at Kyle J. Horner. I'll let you know where I'm going to be doing various speaking appearances. Every Tuesday night, the Rob Mahdi Show is at Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township, New Jersey. It is an awesome restaurant, great food, fantastic drinks. The best part is wonderful people. They're just an exceptional staff. Everyone from the owner, Larry Wallace, to executive chef Dan Luber, all the way down. Just awesome, awesome people there. They have a brand new 75-inch screen TV to watch the games, whether you want to watch Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, college games on Saturdays, NFL on Sundays, any day of the week. And make sure, check us out, Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. We do some sports talk, some trivia, giveaways, prizes. We have special guests. It's just a great time. On October 10th, I'll be hosting, emceeing an event for the Parksburg Point featuring Tim Tebow. It's at the Octorara High School in the auditorium at 7 p.m. Tickets are available at thepoint_timtebow.eventbrite.com. Tickets are limited. They're almost sold out. You cannot get them at the door. We do have a few to give away. So we have a new contest page on faithonthefieldshow.com. If you go there and fill out a form to win free tickets, we're going to be announcing the winners coming up in the next week. I want to thank all of our listeners and our followers. Thank you to Carson Wentz for helping to shine Landon's light. God bless Landon Solberg's family. Rest peacefully, Landon. As Carson said, we know you're up there right now celebrating with Jesus. I want to say thank you to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Horton. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work. Everything he does on our website, podcast, blog makes us just look a whole lot better. Jim Henderson, thank you for the work you do behind the scenes. Great stuff. And thank you to our producers, Ryan Lennox and Brett Kronberger, for being a part of the show. Thank you to all of our sponsors. We really couldn't do this without you. So please check them out on our sponsor page at faithonthefieldshow.com. Not just only wonderful businesses, but great people too. And follow them on social media. They're great companies from Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, the King's Christian School, Center Square Tavern, California Closets, and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Swedesboro. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Enjoy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I am Rob Mahdi, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.